Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Talk about the VOD and the silver screen. Kevin and Tom and Joe know all there is to know, from masterpieces to deep fried tacos. And if the movie sucks, you might hear them say, there's no telling where the guys will take you. Get ready for a spoiler. Won't say it twice, cause we already warned you.
Broadcasting from the lush but not lavish studios located in the basement of the O'Keefe Institute for Advanced Film Snarkitude, this is Real Spoilers, episode 687, Everything, Everywhere.
Almost?
Almost, all at once. Sometimes. Always, maybe, never. Before we dig in, let's go around the table and everyone can introduce themselves.
This is Joe.
This is Kevin.
And this is Tom. And joining us today via the magic of ZoomTube, there, I still got to say it, is Win Lee. He's a freelance writer, but you've seen him stuff on Jump Cut Online, Fangoria, and Slash Film. Hey, Win, how's it going?
I'm doing okay. This fine Sunday morning. He is risen, I guess, but you know that's debatable. But although something that we can be sure of is that, you know, today I think we're going to talk about taxes.
Yeah.
We are.
Yeah. It is a plot point, a large one.
And it is tax time, right?
It is tax time.
Yeah.
I'm done.
With taxes? Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. We had to write a pretty big check.
Oh, no.
Oh.
Yeah.
All that clip out money, baby.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Yeah. So
did
anyway.
Did y'all see your stories in those taxes?
No. No, I did not.
I saw
my tears in those taxes. Does that count?
I told him he could not write off the karaoke machine. He would not listen.
So before we dig into the movie, and there's lots to dig into,
there is.
Let's get some shameless plugs out of the way. Don't forget we're available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, iHeart, TuneIn, wherever you find a podcast, you can find us. While you're there, be sure and follow us so you never miss an episode. Maybe leave us a review if you would be so kind. You could also find us on Facebook, facebook.com/realspoilers. While you're there, like the page, join the group. Also, if you'd be so kind, here's something you could do. Doesn't cost you a dime. You could share an episode with your friends so they know that this is maybe a show they should check out. People who were kind enough to share an episode last week include Heather Sachs, Gabriel Lugo, Julianne Jordan, Ralph Tribble, Tammy Sherman Powers, Brendan McGuckin, Chris Valls, Travis Tewitt, Chris Magic Man, Tom Dowdy, B. Garner, Brendan O'Neill, In Session Film, Nostalgia Cast, Your Next Favorite Movie Podcast. Do they think that it's your next favorite movie or this will be your next
favorite podcast? Or Your Next is your favorite movie.
Mm. That's true. It's just about every minute by minute of Your Next.
Sign me up.
So many
I love that movie. So good.
Your Next.
Done.
Yeah. See?
Sweet.
Mike and Oscar, Geek to Me Radio, Manic Pixie Weirdo Podcast, Ryan Terry from the Forza Crowd Podcast, Ronnie Castle, Feeling Film, Shoria Chavala, Matt Niglia, and Invasion of the Remake. So thank you very much. If you want something that does cost you a dime or 500 dimes? Is that the math on that? I don't know.
No, that's 500 pennies.
500 pennies.
50 dimes.
50 dimes. Okay. I was a mass communication
But if people
major,
want to give us 500 dimes,
we will also
fine
take
with that, too.
That's great.
You can join our Patreon, patreon.com/RealSpoilers, where for $5 a month, you get all sorts of bonus content. You help us out, and we greatly appreciate it. So
the Texas Chainsaw Massacres are done.
Okay.
Those episodes are in the
I'm
books.
Glad that they finally caught the guy.
They have not. Oh. Don't worry, because they won another one. Also, I did actually record an interview with a stand-up comedian, writer, podcaster, Matt McCarthy. He's the host, the co-host of the We Watch Wrestling podcast and Watch It with Matt and Glennis. He's also one of the co-stars of... there's a new show on TBS with Pete Holmes, How We Roll.
Okay.
He's one of the co-stars of that. So that podcast is also done. That's been recorded and finished. So that look, pay attention and see that. Look for that on your feed.
Excellent. Awesome. Yeah. Well, there's all that. I guess let's dig into the movie du jour.
Good luck, Joe, with the synopsis.
So like as I was driving here, I was like, man, this is gonna be tough.
I think what you should do for your as you synopsisize this movie. Is just rework it in your head and put it in chronological order.
That's kind of the only way to do it, right? Like, I will also say...
It starts with a rock.
It starts with... that chronological order. Yes, you're right. Man, so we've... Marvel has done the multiverse, right? Like, they've introduced this idea and they've run with it with the... It looks like that's what's going to be their thing for a little bit. You know, with Doctor Strange, which is, what, May? Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I think that's right.
May... 3rd or well 5th, but there's like early screens on the 3rd, so yeah, it's a couple weeks away.
Right, so they've cracked this seal, if you will.
And this really looks like the multiverse stuff is modeled after the Loki and the variants, the way things branch
yes.
off, so it's kind of that, because we've talked about time travel and different timelines and universes, and there's so many different ways that it's perceived, and this one just reminded me of, and they, I mean, this was filmed 2 years ago, so it's not like they necessarily saw Loki and went off of it, but it's a very similar train of thought to that.
Well, it's, I mean, we see it all the time, right, with like similar ideas or plot lines that kind of come out at the same time.
Ants and Bug's Life.
Exactly.
Volcano and
Dante and
Dante's
Inferno.
Inferno
and,
yeah.
Yeah.
And then this movie is about the multiverse, and you've got Dr. Strange coming out. I have to say the timing on this could not have been better for release.
For who? For this movie?
Well, Marvel's going to make $1 billion no matter what they
do. That's
true. But this movie was filmed before the pandemic got really bad, or you know, the start, March 2020. It was filmed and it had one day of filming left and it got shut down
on its
last day of filming. So they actually ended up using green screen and filming it via Zoom directing and stuff like that.
Oh, really?
Just to do the last shot. It was 1 day left. They had to get one scene.
What was the last shot?
It was when...
Please don't say it was The Rocks.
Yeah, they did it in their backyard. They built some sand pits.
Yeah.
No, the last thing...
They had to put a mask on The Rocks.
On The Rocks.
Which is one of the Rocks. The other Rock refused to wear a mask.
I know.
You know.
One of those.
It's definitely a choice. I guess.
Talk about it. Separate the art from the artist. The last thing they filmed was after they go in for that first IRS audit with Jamie Lee Curtis.
Yeah.
And the crazy fight scene, they go down to the van.
Yeah.
Key is, they're filming in person Key on one half of the van, and Michelle Yeoh is actually in Paris on green screen, and you would have never known.
Wow.
They're in the same car together, and that they're not really in the same
car.
Oh,
wow. I thought you were going to say that the last scene was with Jamie Lee Curtis, and she actually looked like that by the end of the pandemic.
And, you know, just a fact to add on top of that is that, you know, the visual effects team of this is minimal. Like,
five
I think
people.
It was around... six people or something like that.
Whoa.
We'll go with that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's amazing what they did all during the pandemic at home, Zooming, doing all these visual effects for this big screen movie that is presented in IMAX.
Yeah.
And it's five people at home on Adobe After Effects, and it looks as big action movie.
Given what we had last week, right, where it's just like, I hired the greatest drone pilot
Racer.
Of all time, and I did blah, blah, blah. And this movie's like, I got five people in a room.
Yeah.
And they're great.
And make a great looking movie. It's also...
It just shows what young people today... I mean, I know we sound a million years old, but seriously, these people now that are making films grew up as YouTubers and testing things. Look at Matt F. Basler, for example.
Matt F. Basler is a pretty good... Yeah.
Doing all those... He did the whole TikTok nipple video that got him tens of millions of views
because
he wanted to learn motion tracking. And
so
he found just something silly, and obviously it worked, and he made his whole thing off that. So he's experimenting with that, and what's the next thing he does? And the next thing in 10 years from now, these people grew up doing YouTube, filming videos in their backyard because cameras were affordable.
Right.
It wasn't like, don't touch your dad's $3,000 camcorder.
Yeah, right,
it's like,
right.
Here's a $500 Sony Handycam. Go have fun with it. And these people have grown up in it and have done it for fun and practiced it. And technology, of course, is better now.
Sure.
So it just shows you what you can do with the right mind and the time and learning it. And that's what we get here. And it looks, again, phenomenal.
This is the other thing that I think A24, who is the company for this, kind of, I don't want to say that they pigeonholed themselves, but they did kind of start to lean into like the top tier horror, right? Yeah. Like the classy horror movies, the Ari Aster stuff. And I think, did they do The Lighthouse?
Yeah, which is a little different, but it's weird and quirky. Yeah. It's got the A24 brand. But you got to remember, they also did stuff like First Cow.
Right.
The Lobster, I think, was A24. They're you know, they've also have their art house drama that always has that A24 slant to it.
Yeah, there's
because they're always a little weird.
Right,
but,
right, right.
But I get what you mean, though. They gained such notoriety and got so popular. Hereditary, Midsommar,
yeah.
And those are the ones that where it started to be like, oh, what's the next horror from A24? They have a brand, and I'll tell you what, A24, they don't have a lot of misses. Like when you put that A24 logo on a film, they know how to buy films that fit their brand or produce them.
Yeah.
They all fit within that kind of world where, like we were saying, even if it's a dramatic movie, there's something a little weird going on. It's not your typical, like, oh, I've seen this before.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, watching this movie, I certainly wasn't like, I've seen this before.
That is what I was going to say, is we see movies all the time, right? We see multiple movies in a week.
Yeah.
And it's hard, I think, at this point for people in our position to see something we're just like, well, I've never seen that before. And this is the time. There were moments in this movie where I was like, I have no idea what's happening right now,
yeah,
but I am into it. Like, this is a fantastic movie.
Well, and if you know the Daniels, the directing duo, Daniel Kwan and Daniel Scheinert, they directed a movie called Swiss Army Man, which is such a fantastic movie and hits you the same way, where you go into it not really knowing what to expect if you hadn't heard about it, and you're watching it and you've never seen anything like the stuff they do in a movie. They don't make movies that conform to anyone's idea of what a movie should be.
That's true.
They make the movies they want to make, and it comes right out of their imaginations onto the page, and they film it, and it's weird.
Swiss Army Man
is
different.
A
weird movie.
It is weird. Yeah. And this movie's a weird movie. And I said it before, weird isn't a bad thing.
No.
I want to see weird movies, because we go to, you know, Ambulance, for example, and we call it, it wants to be Heat and it wants to be Speed. I mean, sure, there's some things we've never seen before, like the drone shot that's in there to look cool or whatever, but you still feel like, oh, I've kind of seen this movie, right? And you see this movie, and even if it deals with multiverse, which these big multi-billion dollar properties are also dealing with multiverses right now, but they do it in such an innovative way, some out of necessity,
right?
But also because they don't have to follow this vision, like Feige's plan that he has for Marvel. He doesn't go to, you know, he will go to his directors and say, hey, you know, we
this
like what
we're
you
going.
Do, but you got to kind of follow the rules.
Yeah.
And these guys have the multiverse and they get to play with
like,
it.
Like, what rules?
Yeah, they make the rules.
Yeah, and, you know, something I would add on to that as well is just that, you know, the Daniels films, you know, whatever they are, just pick one from the filmography and, you know, you have a whole lot of, you know, bizarreness, like you said, and a whole lot of overwhelming elements. And, you know, it's just that, you know, they that's on purpose. That's by their design. But then at the same time, it's also a very sincere, earnest display of that zaniness, of that overwhelming nature. So you know, that they come from an honest place. They come from a genuine creator's mindset, spirit place, rather than something that, you know, it's just adjective for adjective's sake, if that makes sense.
Sometimes we talk about movies that are quote unquote weird, like Tim Burton movies, right? When he first started out, Tim Burton was so original and it was weird and he had a great style. And then we started to see Tim Burton kind of copying Tim Burton.
Yeah.
And
he's only got one kind of weird.
Right.
Like, and
right,
so right. Like the first time he tells the story that way, it's like, oh, and then I've noticed this arc where it's like they like kind of put a spin on a movie as much as the studio let them get away with it, and then they're like, okay, we trust you, and they run with it, and then you have two or three movies that are really good with that type of weirdness or sure. look, and then they've made enough money to where no one can tell them no anymore, and it just spins out of control.
That's true. Maybe less risky.
Where do you think, where do you think he goes off the rails? Is it like Big Fish? Like Big Fish is the last.
Big Fish is one of his best.
Big Fish is like
no,
the last one.
Big Fish is one of his best. Yeah, for sure. I will not tolerate slander.
That is true.
I feel like yeah. Big Fish was him trying to rein it in to be like, I can make a big studio movie.
Right,
I think
right,
Big
right.
Fish was like Scorsese doing Color of Money.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. You know, okay.
That
yeah,
he's
that makes
like,
sense.
I can make a studio movie. Give me some of those.
But yeah, Big Fish is phenomenal.
But is that the line? Like everything post Big Fish is like, oh, come on.
I can't remember a lot of great stuff after
Willy Wonka.
If I may, then, you know, if you have to ask me,
well, it's gonna be May.
Say he went downhill with Alice.
Yeah, that was the one that made a ton of money, but was just really kind of like, meh.
Yeah, I liked Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
I do too.
Weird. I know you're not supposed to say that.
No, I like it too. It's weird and like, in the best ways. Again,
yeah.
it is really, the songs are good. The style, like the Deep Roy stuff is really good. Like they copy and paste him all over yeah. and he looks like he's there. It really is. Does
I would
amazing
say
stuff.
Like looking at his filmography, I would say that probably the first big misstep was Planet of the Apes.
Oh God, true. That was
like, yep. so bad. You blocked it out.
Yep. I yeah. totally forgot that was him.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't even think
And then
about
he comes back and does Big Fish.
Right.
Like, hey, they don't all gotta be like that.
Which is so good.
Which I wanna like Big Fish.
It's fine.
Like, it's just like, I don't know. Like,
I agree
just,
with you. I think it's fine.
Yeah, like I like the idea of it. And I know people love it, but it just yeah. it I don't know, it just never really clicked for me.
Well, you don't have a soul.
So there is that. There is that.
Oh, snap. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, that's not even an insult.
Right. No, I just
yeah. just spitting facts.
Any yeah. listeners of the show know. Yeah. It's hard when Tom's like, I loved this movie. We're all like, oh my God.
We're like, oh, good Lord. I think this is a conversation that I think we might have come Doctor Strange, because like Sam Raimi's another guy that I think is very interesting to look at his work, his body of work, and then lack thereof.
Yeah.
So I think that'll be an interesting conversation.
And he does his own couple movies where he's like, they don't all have to be weird, yeah. right? He makes that Kevin Costner baseball movie.
Yeah, for the love of the game and yeah. a simple plan.
I think it's for love of game.
I don't think that's what
it's
it
weird.
Is.
They dropped it
for the love of game.
Yeah.
Oh.
Like for the love of God, for the love
of.
Oh,
I always thought it was for the love of the game.
Oh, it is for the. It's. For love of the game, there's no the on the front end.
Not
it's
for
not,
the love.
Yeah, yeah,
it's
yeah,
not
okay.
for the love of the game. It's for love of the game. It's that, a, it's, okay. It was a dumb title.
But on this podcast, it would be the for the love
the,
yeah,
for, right. the, for the game. For the love the, of the game. The.
So, okay. This is it feels like this is A24's like, hey, we can do an action movie. A little
oh,
bit.
Yes,
a,
they can.
You know, and like, sure but throw that A24 spin on it.
Yeah.
So we're introduced.
I feel like this is the Daniel sizzle reel for like, we'd like to work for you, Marvel.
I thought the same yeah. thing.
Oh my. Well, and here's the thing.
Yes.
Which actually makes things ironic, considering didn't they back out of, you know, that Loki invite in order to do this?
Which would be hilarious if that's the case.
Which is funny because, again, of how it's about multiverses.
Right.
But they actually directed some episodes of Legion, and I love Legion.
Oh, Legion was really good.
Legion. And Legion
was kind of a sleeper.
Weird.
Legion
right?
is very weird.
So, I mean, it totally makes sense that they've directed episodes of Legion. They've directed Swiss Army Man, if you've seen it. And when you go to see this movie, I didn't know anything about it. I purposefully stayed away. People said multiverse, whatever, so I knew it was going to... But I didn't watch clips or anything. So when I went into it, the weirdness didn't surprise me because I knew it was Daniels, but I didn't know where we were going, and I was just... It was
this
a great way to take it.
Kind of like, we talk, in Looper... Where they were, I kind of compare this to Looper, right? Like Looper is like, we have time travel, but we're going to simplify it, right? Don't ask any questions. This is what this is. Just mm-hmm. accept it.
Like, don't think about it too hard.
Because it doesn't, you'll break your brain. And I feel like this one does the same thing where they're just like, look, the multiverse is real. It exists. Don't worry about it. Here's this phone that'll pretty much draw a line to what you need to know. And then just roll with it. And,
well, it's
and
smart.
You just accept it.
It's smart the way they present the rules is because in the first, this movie's split up into three acts or three chapters, if you will. And so it's everything, everywhere
all at once.
Right.
And so in that first part, when in the everything, Ki-Hi Kwan goes through all the steps and explains the multiverse to Michelle Yeoh's character. And he does it in a way, obviously, for the audience. But she looks just as confused as us.
Right.
And I have a feeling reading the script, she probably was just as confused as all of us.
She's probably like on the phone in between shots with her agent, like, the wired transfer cleared though, right?
That's right.
I love hearing them talk about this movie, though. I've listened to some great interviews, or watch some video interviews, and then of course Wynn has a great interview with Ki-Hi Kwan, who, if you don't know that name,
here's the thing, I did not realize who he was. As soon as he opens his mouth and he starts talking, I was like, that's weird.
It's like, funny, especially sounds, like 40 years later,
he sounds just like Short Round. And then I look up, I was like, because he's Short Round and he is the character, right? He was in the Indiana Jones and the Goonies. Like, he was
Data
in the Goonies, which I think is a fantastic movie. But it is interesting. I know.
But he retired from acting.
I was going to ask if that was the case, because I looked at IMDb. He's only got 15 acting credits listed.
He did stuff when he was young. And again, in Wynn's interview with him, it's great. It's such an emotional read, as I know it was conducting that interview for you, Wynn. And him talking about retiring from acting and then coming back and how much it meant to him. And something that is really interesting that I can't remember if he mentioned it in your interview, but I know in a couple others he did. He saw Crazy Rich Asians. How great of a movie that is, and how it was great to see all the Asian representation. And he was sad. He calls it FOMO that he wasn't in that movie. And he said, I got to get back out there.
Yeah, basically the thing is that he said that, all these amazing people are on there, but why am I not in it? So
it's a legit question.
It's just heartbreaking. It's honestly heartbreaking to hear him say that.
What's more heartbreaking to me, at least.
What's more heartbreaking to me is the roles he probably would have been forced to take had he kept also acting true, in the 80s.
Which is why he didn't. He would have said the roles weren't available.
The guy from
right.
16 Candles.
Yeah, he would have been Long Duck Dong in 16 Candles.
But
it's
a shame because he's so good.
Oh my gosh. This movie, we've never seen him act as not a child.
That's...
And I mean, he's an adult now, and how good he is in this movie, he's playing the three main different personalities that he plays of Wayman.
Two?
What?
Oh, no, no, no.
He's
Alpha. Yeah. You're
he's
right,
our
right.
universe. And
I forgot
he's
about
the CEO. Pulled straight out of In the Mood for Love.
Yeah.
Oh.
Which is nice, considering he's the assistant director. He's Wong Kar-wai assistant director for 2046.
Yeah. So he totally he went behind the camera and started doing different technical roles. He did stunt choreography.
Oh, did he?
For X-Men 2000. Yeah. He's a stunt choreographer on X-Men. Like, he started doing stuff behind the camera and doing different assistant directing roles and things like that. But this movie, when you see that future Wayman CEO role, looks like it's like Tony Leung doing In the Mood for Love. He's so sophisticated and suave. He puts on those glasses and he looks like a different person.
Yeah, he carries himself very differently.
And his dedication, as I'm sure Wynn can tell you from interviewing him about it, but he got an acting coach, he got a dialect coach, and he worked so hard because he knew this was his big comeback and he missed it, and he didn't take any shortcuts. He worked hard and created these different personalities, and that's why his body language changes, the way he speaks and carries himself. It all shows on screen, and the guy worked his ass off to get there.
Yeah, and I also thought that, it was nice as well, because considering all the, that period of absence, let's call it that, for him, and, we would always think about, had he not retired, had he not taken that hiatus, then, what kind of roles could he have played? And, Everything Everywhere All at Once was just like, okay, here are all the roles that you can play. And, all of them will be in one movie. So how nice is that? I guess it's just an additional layer to, that personally, that only I can see, or something like that, or just a small population or just a small group of audience can see that. But, Everything Everywhere All at Once seems to be like a tribute in a way to Michelle Yeoh's very storied career. And also it's just kind of like a what could have been had, the industry did not let Ki-Hi Kwan down.
Yeah. It's so true. And that's why, you know, he got emotional making this movie. He says he did, but you're right. He saw his career that never happened, that could have been. This whole movie is about making choices and which direction can your life go. And he got to live that all out through the filming of this movie. I mean, you know, theoretically, sort of, all these different roles and things. And yeah, how do you not get emotional about that? And I think it's really special. This is his comeback and it's this good. And he, because he's
insanely good. So basically, this movie opens. We're introduced to Michelle Yeoh, who is Evelyn, and Ki-Hoo Kwan, who is
Waymond.
Which I was like, I don't know if I can say that on the podcast. I know it's his name, but that seems like I'm making fun of a voice, but I'm not.
No,
like, that's his real name.
I think it's like an Asian version of Raymond. I think when Michelle Yeoh says it in interviews, she, I think, actually says Raymond.
Oh, does she?
But the character is Waymond with a W.
No, absolutely not. Conscious that I think Daniel's being weird kind of choice, but you know, it's okay. And you know, the fact that, you know, I think I can kind of relate it to, you know, Wayman being like the wayman or the wingman of the story, or, you know, it's just, it makes sense.
So they made that up for his character. Like, that's not a traditional name.
Yeah.
So I'm calling him Raymond. I'm not going to get
it. It's just funny because I don't know if it's subconscious, but when Michelle Yeoh was talking about the movie and she said Raymond, like, clearly I'm like, oh, but that's not the character. Okay, dude. Oh, yeah.
So they are Asian immigrants to the United States, and they run this laundromat, and it's not
a coin operated laundromat.
Yes, yeah. Like an old school,
not a like bring your dry cleaning to us.
No, like an old school laundromat.
They do that too.
Oh yeah.
I mean you could see the laundry that they take, and they
do both. But just
Jenny,
to like
they do fluff and fold. Yeah. That's what they call it.
Is that what they call it?
That's what they call it. Well, it sounds a little dirty.
It does sound a little
dirty.
But it's
not.
But just to set the scene though, it's not like a dry cleaners where you just drop off clothes. Like, they've got a whole spinning thing, and people are moving their stuff around, and it's hilarious the way that like Waymond is running around and I put this here because there was no room, just moving people's things.
Putting
and,
things in their house.
Yeah, it's hilarious. And putting googly eyes on everything.
And she doesn't. Michelle Yeoh is not a fan. Evelyn is not a fan.
I told you to stop putting these googly eyes on everything.
He loves it. But things aren't okay, right? Like they are not, they're kind of stagnant, and the business isn't performing as well, and they're getting audited, and they have to go.
And you see divorce papers.
You see, yeah.
And I like this in the beginning.
In the very beginning?
Yeah. So Michelle Yeoh is looking at them, and you think because Waymond is like this meek, you know, very friendly, positive guy, but she obviously isn't having a lot of his, you know, positivity when she's dealing with this, you think she's going to serve him divorce papers.
Yeah, that was a good head fake.
And we find out later in the movie that he does it, but it also is more complicated because he's only doing it to try to save their marriage, which seems, again, it's so odd, but then
he's like, I thought it would work. I didn't. She's like, wow.
There's another couple that
someone said that
the husband gave the wife divorce papers and it forced them to work on their marriage and save it. And so he didn't really know how to do it and didn't want to do it. And he's nervous about it, but he didn't even mean for her to find them yet, and she found them. And anyway, but it's this movie keeps you guessing in ways where it's not just a traditional linear plotline. Certainly
linear has nothing to do with this movie. It is there's no linear involved,
but everyone's having a bad time. The daughter Joy, who's Stephanie Su, who is the friend in Shang-Chi at the dinner table.
I thought I recognized her when they're out to dinner in the beginning
and the end. That's her. So she's been in Marvel movies.
Let me see. I do know that she's in the Marvelous Mrs. Maisel though. So
she is in the Marvelous Mrs. Maisel.
And Maisel, is she the lady that owns the restaurant that the ex-husband is setting up in?
I don't watch the show.
I've never watched either.
That's okay. So I've been trying to figure out, watch this movie, why I recognize this lady.
You think it's from that show?
No. Oh. She played Kathleen in Be More Chill. She played Catherine Canigulara or whatever.
Yeah, she played that on Broadway.
She played that on Broadway, and I had front row tickets for Broadway. So I stared at this woman 3 feet from me for like 2.5 hours.
Yeah,
and I was just like, I'm like going through my head, like, where do I know this from? And I was like going through movies, like maybe she was in a movie I remember.
Yeah.
And then I was like, but I feel like I knew her in real life, but like, why would I know her in real life?
That's pretty good.
And yeah, so I did see her in real life.
There it is.
And she's also in that show, Awkwafina as Nora from Queens.
Okay, okay.
So she, I mean, she's...
Christine Canigula.
Yeah.
From That's...
We have to sing it, Christine.
I'm not singing it.
Canigula. I was going to make... Oh, Joy, played by Stephanie,
yeah,
is, you know, her mother is very hard on her, and she obviously, they don't have a great relationship. She's also dating a woman,
right,
which... yeah, which is problematic because Gong Gong, played by the incredible James Hong, who is so good in this movie, and you're like, how is this guy still so good? And he's been in over 1,000 credits, and he's still this fantastic. Like, when he wakes up out of his thing, when he becomes Alpha Gong Gong,
yeah, right, right.
Oh my God, it's just incredible.
But he also has a moment when he's when he explains to Evelyn that, like, you've got to kill her. And we'll get to who her is.
Which is crazy.
But she's like, it's my daughter. Like, do you not realize that? And he was like, do you not understand that, like, I know that?
Yeah.
So, like, there's a really touching moment between those two where he's like, yeah, I get who it is, but it's what we have to do.
But it's like
do.
The greater good, right?
Yeah, right,
so,
right.
But in the original universe, so you've got this, Joy is having trouble between her and the mother, and then she wants to bring Becky, but she is, they're having this big party.
The Chinese New Year is coming, and they're having this big party, and Becky, she wants, Joy wants Becky to come, but they, but Evelyn doesn't want Gong Gong to know that Becky is Joy's girlfriend. Yeah. So as Joy is about to tell her grandfather who she is, Evelyn kind of steps in and says, it's her very good friend.
And that, which I think is something that a lot of people really deal with, that, oh, they're very good friends.
Yeah.
And which is, it's so heartbreaking when you see, literally, which I'm pretty sure there's a reason she's named Joy, but you see,
oh, sure.
I mean, her whole character throughout this movie is pretty good.
Yeah.
But, you know, you see, like, the life just leave from Joy, yep, as Becky's introduced like that, and it's heartbreaking. And this whole movie is about Joy and dealing with her relationship with her mother, and especially Alpha Evelyn,
mm-hmm,
because Alpha Evelyn, which Alpha is the first universe multiverse that could contact other ones, so they call that Alpha, you know, the Alpha versions of them.
And so it begins.
Yeah.
The confusingness of,
right,
yeah,
right, right. There's a lot of, yeah, that going on, but basically, to spoil what happens, what drives this whole movie, because I think that's kind of a linear way to put it,
right,
is that in that Alpha verse, they contacted all the other multiverses, and Alpha Evelyn forced Alpha Joy to travel and go to all these multiverses.
Oh, see,
and
I read it as they realized that Alpha Joy had the ability to go to these different places and kind of absorb things quicker and faster. And so Alpha Evelyn pushed her, and you're right, pushed her and pushed her and pushed her,
yeah,
to the point where it broke her.
It broke her brain.
It broke Joy.
And Joy was literally, that's why it's called Everything Everywhere All at Once. She has the ability to connect with all the different multiverse versions of herself,
right,
and also absorb her powers. And Joy basically becomes the most powerful being in all of the multiverse of all realities. And we don't know her motivations until later, but Joy is basically popping up trying to kill,
yeah,
every version of Evelyn.
Every multiversal version of Joy is shows up and is killing every version of Evelyn, because Evelyn is the only one who is able to do the same thing, basically. Like, she has the same...
There's
she
one
will
Evelyn
have, there's, that will have that the can. Ability that can do all that. So the family goes to the IRS office.
Jamie Lee Curtis
who,
is so good in,
like,
this movie.
It is fun. Like, I feel like Halloween kind of is like the resurgence of, because, like,
yeah,
she does Halloween. But she left for a while. She quit acting,
yeah,
for a long time.
But so once she did Halloween, that Halloween movie, she was back.
And then she does Knives Out, yeah, and then she did something else, and now she's back as Laurie Strode. I think she's kind of gotten herself into that Rian Johnson troupe for the Knives Out, whatever that's going to be,
yeah,
coming down the pike. But man, she is given like a very un-Jamie Lee Curtis like, yeah, performance in this one. Where
at
she
first
is...
I didn't recognize her, and then I'm like, "That's Jamie
she's
Lee Curtis."
She's got like a ridiculous haircut. She's obviously wearing some sort of suit under her clothes that makes her very frumpy.
Yeah,
I guess it's kind of the
her
only
name is
way.
Deidre, the IRS auditor.
Yes,
Deidre, who's clearly not on active yet. Let's just say,
yeah,
that.
All right. Man, when she sucks down that, I don't know what that was, like coconut water or whatever that was in that little canister.
Yeah. And throws it into the trash.
Yeah, just like chucks it over.
It's so good. There's so many little decisions like that. And in interviews, I also heard that Jamie Lee Curtis designed a lot of what that character is wearing.
That's
funny. She's like, I think I should wear this necklace with a pen hanging down or whatever. And this, she said, I should have a wrist brace. She actually invented
the
a lot
wrist,
of
it. It is, when you look at what she's wearing, you're like, I've seen people like that. I know exactly like that person.
Yeah.
So they have
the wrist brace. I like when you get to the hot dog fingers.
Yeah, she's got a wrist
brace. She's got
it
on her ankle.
On her ankle.
When you see her playing piano with her feet, like she had an ankle brace.
That's the most unnerving part of this whole movie.
There's something really neat, though, the attention to detail, because I noticed that, too. And in all the different versions, it's like she always has some sort of wrist brace. There's always, they carry these things on. And this movie is, it's really kind of simple the way they filmed it, as far as there's not a lot of locations, right?
No,
they keep re-outfitting the laundromat.
Third of the movie takes place in the
IRS office.
Yeah,
which was an abandoned building for like when the housing market crashed and all the loan places went crazy or whatever. Like, it's a big building that they basically rented out, filmed there, used offices. People had their own office as a dressing room. Like, they just rented the entire building and used it for the production. And so much takes place there, but because there's different multiverses going on, you don't really think of it as like a one location.
I kept waiting for it to leave. Then I was like, oh, we're not leaving.
We don't have to
leave. I get it.
Yeah.
I'm like, it's an A24 movie. Yeah. Like, I get it. They're making the most out of this.
That's exactly it.
It's really smart, though, because I never felt like trapped in any location.
Yeah, it didn't feel claustrophobic.
No, not at all. But so much of it takes place there. But anyway,
because each multiverse had its own feel to it. Yeah.
There's unlimited possibilities within each location,
right?
And then you put different characters in different locations, right? So you've got the different Evelyns, or at least her with the knowledge of them going to there, or you see them in their version in the same location, and
right.
So yeah,
so they get on the elevator.
I like the visual representation when you see it on the phone of like the different
I did like that as
universes
well.
And how so many are clustered around where you're at, that there's something oddly comforting about the notion that like you might splinter off, but you ain't gonna splinter off that far.
Right.
Like, you have to get a lot of changes.
Right, like you really gotta like go down a rabbit hole to get from like where we're at to like one of us is present, right? Like, and so, I don't know. I liked just seeing the cluster of like most of your decisions aren't going to radically affect.
Because you went right instead of left.
Right.
It's not gonna be that big of a deal.
Correct.
But again, talking about the uniqueness of this film, you have to love the way that she jumps between multiverses. You just have to do the most random, unexpected thing, because like you said, little changes aren't going to change your trajectory.
Right.
But if someone eats a canister of chapstick, that is so weird, and what other people around you would think of that and do in reaction, that's what changes your life, is doing the weird stuff, right?
But I do like that they give you, hey, you need to do this. This is what you need to do to get to.
Well, yeah, they figured
point.
It out
yeah,
that this
right,
weird
right.
random thing is different. But then Evelyn starts guessing because she doesn't know the alpha stuff.
Right.
Right. So she just needs different skills. And so she starts just doing weird things to see what they do. And then even the alpha people are monitoring. Like, she
what
just,
is she
doing?
She
just, did whatever. And then it ends up putting her in weird ones that aren't the skills she needs, you know? So it's really fun and really inventive. But before they get to this meeting, we should say Wayman, they're in the elevator. And all of a sudden, Wayman like snaps out of it, right? And he turns into Alpha, and he holds this umbrella. It's really cool the way it's done, in like a
he shields the camera.
Yeah, it's like we'll see later with all of his martial arts stuff. Like, he does it in a manner where he whips the camera up.
That was pretty great.
Evelyn's like, "What are you doing?" He pushes it back and he talks to her, and he says, "We don't have much time, but you can go into this janitor's closet,
right? Or you can go to this meeting."
Yeah,
and so he writes down on what turned out to be the divorce papers. Yeah. 5 steps that she has to take to make this work. So she goes to the meeting. Jamie Lee Curtis, of course, is being
for some reason he uses the lyrics to a 9 Days song to
what's
do
that?
It.
Yes, that's
what's
right. Slashfilm also did an interview regarding that particular music choice. Good call, Tom.
Yeah, like when he's describing like how you feel different, and he says to her, "Your clothes never wear as well the next day, and your hair never falls in quite the same way." That's from the song "Story of a Girl."
Oh,
this
really?
Is the story of a girl. She cried a river and drowned the whole world. And they play the song like 4 times in the movie.
I didn't
but
even
like
hear
it's
it.
Different versions of the song.
Oh, that's funny.
And like each universe has its own version. So like when you get the Dom, there's a version. It's like, you know, though she posts uncensored photographs. I absolutely love it.
Yeah.
My safe word, smile. And, and like,
that's great.
But yeah, they have all these different and I would, because I when he, as soon as he said, because I liked, I've always liked the song.
Yeah.
And as soon as he said, I was like, well, that's from Story of a Girl.
That's hilarious.
Oh, that's pretty good. That's pretty good. So he tells her, he was like, look, this is, he breaks it down for her very quickly. This is what's going on. There is this being that is tearing through the multiverse and looking for all the versions of you. They're going to take you out. You have to join us. And all at the same time, while she's like, what is happening? She's so confused. And then he's like, okay, I got to go. And like snaps back to regular Wayman. And then they go to the meeting. And of course, Jamie Lee Curtis is not happy about
the
situation.
It's not going well.
They don't have everything they need. She's immediately drawing a big black circle like around the karaoke machine, which will come into play later. Like the black circle will come back into play later.
And poor sweet Wayman is just like, he's like, she just gets confused with, she just doesn't know. She has so many hobbies. She thinks they're businesses. Like he's such a
he's
nice
trying.
Guy. But every time he says something to Deidre gives them a break, right? Because that's Wayman. The center of this story is about kindness and being kind to one another. And Wayman is the ultimate representation of that. And like, if we could all live our lives like Wayman and be that thoughtful and loving to one another. But he gets them out of it every time by just being kind.
Bring in cookies or something.
Like, yeah.
It's so, something so simple.
And Evelyn writes him off at every corner and doesn't care about all this stuff. But eventually we see how big of an impact it has as she eventually learns about kindness and the kind of at that blow up at the party and break the windows and everything. But anyway, she decides to do it. It's not going well. And she's like, whatever, I'm going to.
So she follows the rules. She goes to the closet, and this is where Alpha Wayman.
But in a cool way, she follows the rules, which are do all this stuff, change your shoes, and then presses her Bluetooth headset that he gives her.
Right.
I love the technology in this movie.
It makes total sense.
But again, Daniels, they're like, this feels so much like guerrilla filmmaking. They're doing whatever they need to do to get the job done. It reminds me of who are the guys, Crank?
Yeah.
They'd roll around on roller skates on the side. Neville, Dean, and Taylor, and they would roll around on roller skates, hang off the side of cars, and do all this stuff themselves, just indie, like trying to get these shots.
They killed Marvel for a while.
Yeah?
Ghost Rider 2.
Oh. Well, and I don't think they ever did anything after that.
Sure
didn't. But the point is that Daniel...
He pees fire in that movie, Kevin. Like, you can't really...
Have you ever seen
Ghost Rider 2?
Some penicillin will clear that right
up. Absolutely.
Oh,
Ghost Rider 2, like, man... It is a wackadoo movie. That is crazy.
But so they're so innovative with the way they make these effects work and everything. And basically what happens is she does all this. Oh, but the technology, they're old, like Jabra
they're
Bluetooth.
Massive, like.
Hanging like early 2000s when you saw, some businessman walk in and you're like, is that guy talking to himself? And he turns and there's this huge Bluetooth.
So I was just in New York and I got to tell you, with the advent of earbuds.
Yeah.
That. You can make phone calls on. It is no longer possible to tell the difference between somebody on the phone and someone having a psychotic break.
Everyone's just walking around talking to themselves.
You would be talking to themselves, and you're just getting one in the conversation.
Right,
I'll tell you another thing. If you bring a chicken into this house again, well, then you're going to learn about the umbrellas. And you're like, what the hell is happening? Like, I get, what?
No, what? You pick up the kids.
Yeah.
All right, fine. I'll get them. Good Lord. Put me on the list, I guess.
But so they've got the old Bluetooth technology. All the stuff looks like it's straight out of something from like Lawnmower Man, like old school. What technology
right,
is
right?
So in this 2022 film, we're seeing this like in the Alphaverse, and they've got. I mean, Wayman's wearing like what looks like a colander with some wires coming out.
What it looks like? It looks like it's a combination of. The thing that Doc Brown is wearing when Marty meets him in 1950.
Yes.
But it's also, it looks like the thing that Rick Moranis is wearing in Ghostbusters.
It's
like a combination of like those two.
100%. So what I mean is that it's like, it works. You never go like, oh, that's cheap. Like this, their movies are weird in the best way. And so when their technology is old and weird and silly, it's so entertaining. But she presses the buttons after she does all this stuff. And then you see her sucked into the closet. She is able to communicate with basically it's like the other multiverse version where they're in the closet.
Right.
And there's all this crazy stuff happening as we find
out. He downloads everything into her brain. Right. In this one moment, he downloads all of the information that she's going to need about the multiverse and the different versions of her. And she's like, you would in that situation.
Chuck.
Like kind of like Chuck, yeah. That's not wrong. That's not
yeah,
totally
wrong.
It's
an exposition
wrong.
Download to right. her and for us. But we see the Deidre break through the door and snap Wayman's neck.
Yeah, and now she's got like this Deidre has like a black circle in the middle of her forehead,
which we come to find out is them worshiping Jobu Tepaki. I think is the name of the villain of this movie.
Is it Jobu?
I think so.
Yeah. Oh.
Isn't
yep,
it Jobu Tepaki?
Oh, yeah. Okay. I was like, that's
from minor league.
Major league.
Major league. Yeah, I had the same thing. I was like, they should have picked a different name.
Yeah,
I instantly
right.
went to major league in
that's
my head.
Yeah, totally. So,
I'm guessing that's, I don't know when, if you picked up on anything, but her name is Joy. So I'm guessing Joe, J-O, not Y. It's got to be some kind of
maybe.
A shortening or hybrid of.
But we don't know who that is yet. We just know it's a thing.
I don't
think
believe
it's
so.
A weird name.
However, I did a podcast prior to you guys and
what
you traitor
you slut. Garbage.
sorry. Well, I
thought
do
you were exclusive.
I do hop around. So
all right, go on.
But anyway, the host of that podcast, Kale Smith, he said. That you know, he seems to pick up the name Jobu Tepaki being like a combination of Joy and Becky. So
okay,
oh,
see,
okay,
I
there's
so yeah,
I
yeah,
that for sure.
So, but anyway, the neck is snapped of Wayman, and there's this crazy war going on. And we see once Michelle Yeoh is transported back to our original universe, that we then flash forward to what this crazy one is, and all these worshippers of Jobu have this. Circle, this black
right.
circle, which we find out is really an everything
an
bagel.
Everything bagel.
Because everything in the universe
put everything,
was put on
you
a bagel.
Put everything on it.
Hilarious
yeah.
and amazing. And anyway, Jamie Lee Curtis at one point staples a paper with the circle drawn onto her forehead.
Right.
And it's just crazy. But we see Jobu coming and she's masked. You don't know who she is, right? But she's like dressed in this crazy way.
Oh, we don't see her yet, do we?
Yeah, when you go back to that universe and she kills the Evelyn, I think.
They're trying to leave. Evelyn is freaked out. Deidre is coming towards her, and she's already seen a version of Deidre like coming at, you know, breaking the Alpha Wayman's neck.
Yeah.
So she just punches Jamie Lee Curtis in the face, and of course, it's the real world, right?
Yeah.
This is the real Jamie Lee, you know, the real Deidre.
Yeah.
And everybody's freaking out, and this is where Wayman kind of the Alpha Wayman pops back up and ends up doing this ridiculous fight sequence.
So awesome
with a fanny pack,
yeah.
which I think is great.
And this looks so much like the style of it is such a Hong Kong martial
very
arts.
Very much so.
And
very much so.
He was a stunt, either a body double or stunt coordinator on a Jet Li movie.
This,
was it the
so
one?
I will tell you, this reminded me, if you go back and watch like, not old Jackie Chan movies because they tried to make him into like the new Bruce Lee and it wasn't
yeah.
working. But like, go back and watch like Police Story
yes,
or things like
that. Ones
the,
that
the
it
Jackie
feels
Chan,
like
the mm-hmm. way the way he moves and the way it's shot, it's very choreographed, and I don't mean that in a bad way. Like there's definitely a choreography here that is top notch. It is so. If you haven't seen Police Story, please
yeah.
go do that. It's one of the greatest action movies ever made.
Yeah. And speaking of the choreography, it's very much well, obviously the Jackie Chan references are like. Apparent, but also it reminds me a lot of like films from Sammo Hung or Sui Hark, you know.
So. Yeah, so Sammo and Jackie Chan kind of came up together, so that tracks. Mm-hmm. Like those two guys kind of have the same style. This is where we start to get to the divergence of the different timelines, the different realities, I guess. So the one reality is that I think she goes. What does she do? She doesn't go back to the. To the IRS office and everything goes to hell. The other one is we stay in the IRS office and it's like this massive fight and she has to like, she finally figures out how to access different multiverse. That's the thing is like you don't inhabit the body of the other person in the multiverse, but you are able to like take their skills. Mm. So she mm-hmm. finds a version of herself in the multiverse that is like a kung fu master, and she ends up fighting her way out of all this different stuff.
I loved that collage of her training. Like it was something like you
see
like
Kill Bill.
Well, Kill Bill, which is also taking that
yeah.
from all those other actual martial arts, you know, the original martial arts
yes.
movies. But you see her training with a kung fu master and doing push-ups with her pinky
right,
because
right,
it's like
right.
oh, you have enough strength in a pinky. and
she ends up fighting with her pinkies.
Yeah, but she and then she, in the muscle on her pinky.
Yeah,
she's
that,
so strong.
That pinky is wall, so y'all can go home.
Hilarious. But this is the Weird Daniel stuff that I love so much because it's so inventive and weird and makes you go like, what is happening here?
Right.
But eventually, as a great martial artist, she becomes a movie star.
Does,
which
yeah.
is Michelle Yeoh. So basically one of Evelyn's multi timelines is that if she didn't marry Waymond, her father didn't like him, but in what would you call this? Because it's hard. I want to say alpha, but
divergent.
But no, like the one that we know, our main character, Evelyn, what would you?
Earth Zero.
I'll just call her OG, like original Evelyn, ends up marrying Waymond against Gong Gong's wishes,
right.
And comes to America, and they end up with this laundromat, IRS problems, kid problems.
Call her Omega. Because that's where it ends.
Yeah,
right?
That is
there
true.
You go.
Yeah,
Omega,
that's a good
Evelyn.
Point.
Yeah. And so she sees this timeline where she tells Waymond to go take a hike, and they never see each other until this, you know, very much in the future when she's a big movie star. But she basically becomes Michelle Yeoh in that
right.
timeline,
right.
right? They use footage from her movie premieres. You see her.
Yeah.
There's
Crazy
a lot
Rich
of
Asians.
Like, yeah, real action.
I really like that. I really yeah. like that touch. Like they actually take. Her, you know, red carpet footage is just to, you know, just to mess with our minds a little bit. But yeah. hey, I love
but
that.
But also because in the like guerrilla filmmaking, it's like this movie doesn't have unlimited budget, right?
right.
Why are we going to go film Michelle Yeoh at a bunch of movie
let's go to,
fake
let's
movie
go to, let's go to YouTube and just pull some
right?
clips.
And so yeah. they use real ones, right. but you're right when it also accomplishes the mind F where you're like, oh, if Evelyn doesn't do this, she becomes Michelle Yeoh. So
right.
it does make you think. And
she hits Wayman with a line where I was like, God, you are not a nice person. Where she's like, I shouldn't have married you.
She
like,
says some really tough things.
I really like that too, because the immediate first thing that I thought of, I was like, wow, look at how much better your life is, Evelyn, not marrying Wayman.
Yeah.
And then right after that, she
says
delivered
it.
The line that you should have seen my life. Had I not married you,
which was
so mean. But.
It is so mean, and obviously you're supposed to sympathize. Wayman is the nicest, kindest person in the world,
right?
But also remember, Alpha Wayman tells Evelyn that you are the only one that could beat Jobu and learn all these things because nothing good has ever happened for you. You
right,
you make
true,
the
yeah,
worst
right,
decisions
right, right.
in your life. You accomplish nothing.
We can't,
so your mind is open enough to inherit everything.
They're like, we can't believe that you cannot make the right decision in yeah. any of these things. Like it's unbelievable.
But how hilarious is that? So there is a nice juxtaposition of those two lines where they balance, where it's like, yeah, she says something mean to Waymond and
right.
she eventually learns that it wasn't a nice thing to say. But also she was told that she's basically, her life has gone nowhere.
Like,
yeah,
yeah,
she is. Every single decision she made in this Omega timeline that we're in is because she made the wrong choice that made her life.
Well, I feel like it's she couldn't make a choice, right? Like that's why
no,
she
that's
had,
true.
That's why she has all those different hobbies, right? Those are all the different paths she could have gone down.
Sure.
And in these other timelines, she did go down,
yeah.
But she has all these different hobbies because she won't lock into one
exactly.
thing,
right?
Which,
and
yeah,
commit.
Man, you just say I didn't even pick up on that till you just said
yeah,
that.
Yeah, the
right?
karaoke
and
is
the cooking,
singer
and the cooking,
and the,
yes. right? Yeah, you're
yeah,
totally
and,
right. You're totally right.
And you know, it's also I think it also relates to kind of like a martial arts philosophy, and I think it's particularly Shaolin or Kung Fu philosophy that you know, in order to find a form. First, you must be formless, or you know, in order yeah. to fill your cup, you must first empty it. So here we are. We have an Evelyn like who is no good at anything.
She's
but
an
then
empty vessel.
It turns
yeah.
out, you know, she is. Eventually, she is good at something, and I just thought that's a very comforting message to say. You know, ultimately, maybe later. Red and sooner you are always useful, you are always needed. So
it kind of reminds me of the wrong interpretation of that jack of all trades master of none, like
right.
like the real saying is that it's a good thing to know a little bit of everything, but the way people use it is like, well, yeah, you can do a little of everything but nothing great. And that's kind of what they're saying is
yeah.
that she doesn't commit to one thing, like you said. And so it really is interesting way to look at it as you think about your own life and decisions you make. And I love this movie so much because these are conversations I have with people about, isn't it weird that if you chose to take this job or start this podcast
yeah.
versus this one or whatever, your life goes in a different direction. Here mm-hmm. we are since 2013 doing this podcast. What if we didn't decide to start the podcast? All these years of doing, who
there would
knows?
Be no clip out.
Right. See? Yeah. So a whole nother thing.
If I don't take the job with Review STL,
yeah,
I don't get here.
We knew you from doing movie reviews. So it really is interesting. There's something everyone can tap into in this movie, because at the end of the day, as weird and complex as the thought process is, it's very human, and we all have decisions every day to make. And it's not so much saying you should dwell upon the decisions you didn't make. Like Evelyn's thinking back and seeing all the potential. Don't dwell on it, but it's just something to keep in mind.
They even say that. They're like, you can't stay in that world. Like, that's not your world. You can't stay there. You're going to break your, your brain is like a, what do they call it? Like a vase. And every time.
A clay pot, you mean?
A clay pot. Thank you. Every time you do something, like you did a little crack. And then you got to come back, and we can fix it. Like, it's okay. Yeah. But if you stay for too long, you cannot. You're a crackpot. That's right.
So it bounces back and forth between all these multiverses. Rakkakuni
was
one of
pretty great.
That was just hilarious. The fact that this movie feels like such a grounded real world thing until it gets weird each time, right?
Yeah, so.
She's like a chef at one of those hibachi places, and there's a guy that's showing her up in this lifetime, and then she finds him in the kitchen, and he takes his hat off, and it's a ratatouille.
This
situation.
Is the story of a chef.
Yeah.
That's the song they play.
Is that the song they play there?
And it's just hilarious that there's a raccoon, which looks so different in real life versus a cartoon rat doing it. A full-size raccoon pulling his hair to operate him. So weird. And when she ends up, when they try to save Rakkakuni, she jumps on his shoulder.
It's so random.
Running down the street. Yeah. Like, that stuff is what you see in Daniel's movies. You'll see that stuff in Swiss Army Man, how weird it is. And it just makes me appreciate what a movie can be. It can be anything that your imagination can come up with if someone's willing to make that movie.
And Rakkakuni was voiced by Randy Newman.
No.
Yeah.
Shut up.
Yeah. Correct.
Are you serious?
I can confirm. Yes.
Okay. That is the funniest freaking thing that I did. Yeah. So there's like that universe.
I didn't win here you guys believe me. He's not just messing with you. Like, I get why you might think that, but I will vouch for this.
Right. Let's be honest.
But
Tom, you've been like dropping like truth bombs on the rest of the team.
That's what I do, man.
They're all like, what's going on? Like, did you reach out to a different verse and then you have the answers or something like that? So, forgive the disbelief, but it's
I'm
okay.
Used to it.
It's
I'm
okay.
Used to it.
In the laundromat, they're watching this classic romance film, and then they go into the other multiverse where everyone has hot dog fingers. And they're watching the movie, and the actors have hot dog fingers, and Evelyn and Deidre are actually in a relationship.
Yeah, they're a couple.
And so, like, you see them in these sentimental, these emotional, romantic scenes with their hot dog fingers flailing around, and these actors hold it together well enough.
And I guess if you come to completion, you squirt
mustard everywhere.
Mustard and ketchup.
I think you actually have mustard and ketchup like oozing out of your fingers something like that. So it's
and this is the first film, I think you can put this in the history books, this is actually the first film to ever create Chekhov's butt plug.
Oh my god.
Oh no.
That was great.
From the very first IRS scene when they go in there and she's got the awards. You're like you just know. You're like, that's not, there's a reason why their awards look like butt
plugs.
I didn't know what a butt plug looked like, glad that you explained that to me,
sure,
Kevin.
You know.
I was confused.
Yeah. Remember that whole thing about lying?
Yeah.
but there's when we get to that scene where the one guy has to sit on a butt plug, there's people I could see
jump on a butt.
He doesn't have to. He gets to.
Yeah. I could see that there was a whole row behind me, and I could hear one woman go, "Oh no!" and then of course the
slow
guy,
motion, leaping and jumping onto it. I mean, it's so funny. And then the whole fight sequence takes place with it hanging out the award.
She's fighting two
there's
guys.
Old boy sideways hallway sequence, basically. Like, they're shooting it like that from the profile.
Yeah,
and there are two of them fighting
it
Evelyn.
So we're led to believe that guy is naked from the waist down, right? Yeah. There's a scene later when Evelyn figures out the way to fight these people off is to hit them with their kindness, right? She's unlocked this ability. She can kind of like put the one thing that anybody wants on them at any point.
Yeah.
So she gets to that guy and she gives him the puppy.
Yeah.
And you can see that he's wearing like flesh colored underwear.
Yeah.
And I was like, ah, dang it. Like, you're sitting so pretty.
Because they blur it out so that you would think that it's just a sensor.
Just like
his, so it's not NC-17 or something was my thought. But,
right. Oh, but also,
speaking of which, our butt plug security guards, that's brothers Andy and Brian. And Andy, apparently, he's also a death dealer in Shang-Chi.
Oh, okay.
I thought he looked familiar, which makes more sense.
That's interesting. So, yeah, they're taking a lot of the same actors that have, I mean, if you think of Michelle Yeoh and Crazy Rich Asians, and, which he is.
Yeah,
like...
and previously, I also interviewed Andy, and at that time, I interviewed Andy for Shang-Chi, and at that time, he said that, you know, working with screen legends like Tony Leung or Michelle Yeoh, you know, it was amazing. And, I'm actually working on another film with Michelle Yeoh right now, but I cannot reveal it to you yet. And voila, it's Everything Everywhere All at Once. It's actually a whole lot of Asian descent stunt people over in Shang-Chi are carried over to Everything Everywhere All at Once as well, because you know, I guess it makes sense, because technically I believe Michelle Yeoh, she was filming like Shang-Chi and Everything Everywhere All at Once at the same time, or
all at once
she was filming Shang-Chi but she is training for Everything Everywhere, so it's either that. Thought it's interesting. Oh, and also the boys are also from the Paper Tigers as well, which is a fun throwback kung fu film.
Nice. Yeah, that's great. Michelle Yeoh, if we just have to say, so good in this movie.
She's fantastic.
She has to deal with so much stuff.
She's fantastic.
Yeah.
And like the way that they filmed this, again, this down and dirty little filming is like they had to pull her chair in slow motion in the IRS office, and she had to pretend to be getting whipped backwards fast but in slow motion so they could speed it up and it looks crazy, right? So she's just going along with all these crazy techniques of filming and having to imagine these things, or you know, using the different sets that they have, and she's so good at learning these abilities, and obviously martial arts, which she's great at, but the dramatic stuff, and we saw that in Crazy Rich Asians recently, and in Shang-Chi she's great you know, in that part. So it's been great seeing her. But I love how much she has to do in this film and how weird it is. It really pushes all these actors because they go to these different multiverses and have to play different characters, right? And, and then the dramatic.
And a lot of times for things that you're only going to see for a few seconds.
Yeah, 10 seconds tops.
Mm-hmm. But then you're like, they really have to convey that, you know, convincingly. So
They had to practice and be their best for that small little scene.
Yeah.
And like that I call it like the Wong Kar Wai scene, you know, that scene in the future where she's an actress and he's a businessman. It's such a great emotional scene and the dialogue between the two of them. Yeah. And I just think that's my favorite vignette of the whole thing. And because I love In the Mood for Love, and it evokes that, the color palette with the greens and everything. Like they really made it look like Wong Kar Wai film, and the two of them are great in it. So I thought that was great. But ultimately, Joy is trying to destroy all the Evelyns, is what it comes down
because
to.
Because
this is what kids do.
But you think
Alpha Evelyn broke her.
But so you think it's just for straight revenge. But remember, what we find out is she's not just killing them for revenge. She's trying to find someone else who can understand her, because her mother doesn't understand her. They don't get along, as we see in our Omega universe. And so we think it's a vengeance thing, but it's not. It's she wants someone else to say, look what I'm going through. I experienced all this and it's horrible, and I just want it to end.
Right.
And so that's where she puts everything that she finds in these multiverses on this bagel, which is a circle. It's symbolic of the characters and the journey that they're on and everything. It's obviously a lot deeper, but you know, a silly Daniel's way, it's like, oh, it's an everything bagel literally. But Joy wants to end her life. She wants to stop hearing all these universes, and the way that she pops in and out of all these multiverses like a Looney Tunes character, it's very much a cartoony type thing.
Yeah.
The outfits, the physics of it, she's exploding heads with confetti, there's a lot of weird stuff.
She beats somebody up with dildos.
I think a detail that I also really love about Jobu Tabaki is that you know, when we first see her, and you know, she scratches her nails onto the office cabinet walls, and you know, the longer she scratches it, the more often her nail changes color.
Yeah.
So I just thought that, you know, that was interesting. And also what they also did was, you know, in a really efficient way to show how powerful she is, it's just that she switches universes as if like just, you know, turning a dial.
Yeah.
So
She cocks her head. Yeah.
Yeah. She can jump into any joy in any multiverse that she wants.
I love the outfits. The outfits. Yeah, they're ridiculous. Big puffy balls on her and the different color hair, like and the nails.
Like a golfing outfit.
Yeah. You know, oh, my gosh. When she has the golf club, I mean, that reminded me of The Last of Us. If you know about golf clubs and that.
Oh, no.
It's intimidating when you see someone with a golf club and you're like, I know what that can do. But she's, you know, she's scary.
Right.
Like, that Stephanie Soo, she is really, really good as a villain.
Yeah, because she's super chill. Like, she's very laid back, and it's very, like,
she's just this kid, you know, and when you first see her, and then you see her as a murderous villain that's jumping through all these, and you don't know her motivation yet, right? So it's scary. But anyway, we eventually, as Evelyn goes and gets all these skills and tries to face her, Jobu shows her the bagel and says, like, yeah, I just wanted to relate to you. And Evelyn's struggling with, obviously, this is her daughter. She doesn't want to see her kill herself or, you know.
Well,
and,
but, yeah, so pretty much the culmination of this entire thing is where we've never left, like, in the Omegaverse, we've never left the IRS office. Like, that's where everything is basically going down. So in one universe where Evelyn decides to not go to go back to the IRS office to fix it, they come, they're gonna arrest her. Wayman works his magic and makes everything okay and gives her extra time. And then there's a connection between in one universe, the couple of Deidre and Evelyn, kind of, they're breaking up, but then they get back together, and that works here.
Which is also, like, when the beginning of the movie, when Wayman says, you have to tell her you love her to jump. And
she's like, I don't.
Michelle Yeoh, though, eventually she's like, I love you. I love, like, you don't believe it, and it's not working. And then so she eventually has to really say it, and right at the right moment. Jamie Lee Curtis was actually doing wire work in this scene.
That does not surprise me.
Jamie Lee Curtis wanted to be up there on that staircase. They did wire work. There was a stunt person too, but, like, to get close-ups, they had her swinging on those wires.
That's pretty great.
Which is fantastic. But she says, I love you, right at the last moment.
Hits her in the chest, but whatever. Yeah. So then in that universe, that fixes things. So that's like the Deidre that with a circle on her head starts to, like, come out of whatever trance this is. In the universe where they're going to lose everything, she sits down with her. They kind of have a conversation, and, like, that unlocks another thing.
She brings the police to close down and repossess the laundromat.
Which I don't think is a thing.
Well, if you're the IRS, I guess, and you owe all this money, I guess they can seize your stuff.
I guess that's true. Yeah,
I don't know that you could do it that quickly.
I don't know. If you owe them money, I think they act a lot faster than the other way around.
I also don't think, like, they're coming into this meeting after already meeting with them, right? Like, they're, like, bringing your stuff, and then they show up, and she still doesn't have it.
I gotta tell you, it's after hours. They're not working after hours. Yeah. That's not a thing. Yeah.
But in that scene, you know, they have the big party, and everything's going crazy, and Evelyn at this point is, like, breaking down, and she decides she hates the laundromat, and she's breaking the windows.
She signs the divorce papers.
Yeah, and so the cops are there, and everything's about to end, but Wayman once again talks to her, says they're having trouble with their marriage, and Deidre's been divorced, and she can relate, right? It's the humanity, and we all have... Even though we're different, we all have so many things in common, and we can understand the struggle. And so she gets more time, and they have that nice conversation on the bench outside. And I think that cuts between the hot dog hands, where they're actually in a relationship.
So they break down this version of Deidre, and then that in the real world, Deidre is okay. She gets what she wants. So now Michelle Yeoh realizes that if she acts like Wayman acts and just starts giving people
kindness, she gets the kindness.
She starts knocking these people out left and right, right? She gives one guy, you know, like we talked about, the puppy, or she gives another guy the smell of his wife's perfume. Right. And
the
gives
one
him,
guy, the ball gag. You know, like, we see all these, because, like, these people all want different things, and instead of hiding them, and which is also, again, there's so much in this movie to unpack, but, like, the daughter and being who she is and introducing Becky,
right?
Not hiding it, right? These people are all being themselves and getting the things they want, and that stops them from trying to kill Evelyn because they can be happy. They can be themselves.
They can be themselves.
So
she's knocking all of them out.
But this looks like a big action scene, but instead of hitting them with blows, it's hitting them.
She's
with,
like, hitting them in the chest,
but it's still filmed like
she's dodging strikes, but she's not, like, she's, you know, so
she's killing them with kindness.
Killing them with kindness.
Killing them with kindness. Correct.
Finally, she gets to Joy, and she's. Steps in and she says she in the reality where they're going to repossess everything. She goes to Gong Gong and says, "Look, this is Joy. You know, Joy."
Oh, and Gong Gong and his mech trying to fight.
Yeah, right.
James Hong is so good
wearing, like, a mech suit and fighting. Yeah, This is her girlfriend Becky, and then they have a moment between, you know, Gong Gong and Becky have a moment, mm-hmm. but that doesn't get Joy where she needs to be, right? So she's like, "Just let me go, just let me go," and mm-hmm. finally she says, "Okay, like I'll let you go." And then in this other weird dimension where the everything bagel is, Joy starts to walk through the bagel, and then Michelle Yeoh says, "You know, stop, listen to me." They have a moment. And then they embrace, I think, and she
we see this in all these
out.
Different universes too, like the Rocks. How great were the Rocks?
Rocks is pretty good.
The subtitle dialogue.
Yeah. I'm gonna follow you. Don't you dare!
I love that. I love that universe so much, and I think one of the best frames to pick out of the from the film is just that, you know, the two rocks just decide to like ha 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 ha.
yeah. Oh, I love that. And they're just rocks. There's no human life form, and they're talking.
Yeah, because on that world we didn't make it.
Yeah, yeah. And Joy mm-hmm. wants to get away, so you see this rock start scooting, and Evelyn is chasing her, and there's two rocks chasing each other. But eventually, Joy throws herself off the cliff, but then Evelyn falls and tumbles behind her, and so yeah, you see all these beautiful moments through the mm-hmm. multiverse,
right?
Yeah, and just relating back to the idea of, I guess, of letting go. You know, the rock universe is like a literal representation of that, because, and you know, Joy has thrown herself over the edge already, so. Evelyn has to follow too, but then, you know, for our Omega universe, well, okay, if Joy wants to go, if Joy wants to be let go, then so be it. But at the same time, if Evelyn wants to get close to her, she too also has to let go of, you know, all whatever else that is burdening her, and mm-hmm. instead just, you know, focus on her priorities. Because I guess you can do your taxes every year, but then you can only have one opportunity to really connect with people that you love.
So. Mm-hmm. Right, mm-hmm. right, exactly. And like you said, all her other hobbies and things like that, ultimately she finds out that she has this family. She has a daughter. She has a husband that loves her and this life together. And she chose all those things she did so many years ago, and she can't go to those other multiverses and stay there.
Right.
Like, you know, like Wayman says. So she has her life and she has her family, and ultimately decides she chooses kindness and chooses love and chooses her family. So she gets Joy out of there.
She does, and she ends up technically, I guess, killing Joe Boo, or getting rid of that version of Joy.
Her heart was healed. I think that Joe Boo, that version doesn't really exist anymore because they have the connection that she was seeking.
Right, right. So then they go, it's the next day, and everything is kind of back to normal. They go back to Deidre in the IRS, and they've got all of their paperwork, and Deidre's like, oh, like this, and everybody's a little kinder, right? Everybody's a little bit nicer.
She's like, this looks still way, don't have it all, but
right,
it's better.
But if we're in a better position,
you're trying,
right. And that's kind of how this ends. Is like it, things are working out for the most part.
I think at the end, though, you know, in the beginning at the IRS, you see Michelle Yeoh clearly not concentrating on the IRS stuff, and she's taking in all these new multiverses. Yeah. At the end, you can see Michelle Yeoh is present, but I still think she has the ability to kind of tap.
She's
into
definitely
the other,
like off in the distance thinking about something.
So she can
she grew wiser. Yeah.
That's not what I thought was going to happen at the end.
What do you think?
I thought she was going to use her universe jumping ability to find a version of herself that was a CPA.
And do all the taxes perfectly.
And be like, well, no, here's how you deducted that, and be able to like totally school her and tax.
That's kind of
good. Yeah, that would be good too.
And be
that's
like,
pretty good.
Yeah,
I win.
Yeah, boom. This is the most original thing I've seen this year. This is amazing. Unfortunately, I don't think it's playing in a lot of places. I know I had to see it at like a weird time because there was only like three showings of it.
Yeah.
Well, all the AMC theaters are showing it, so I mean, good for them. I mean, I know we have some other theaters in town, some of the, you know, smaller.
Yeah. Marcus was showing. I saw it in Marcus.
That's right.
Okay, yeah. So I mean, it is lucky that it is opening wide and is at more than just indie, like art house theaters, because you've got Marcus is our big one here other than AMC, and they both have it. So go support it, though.
It's probably benefiting from the fact that there's so few major studio releases
That's
now,
also
too.
True.
Like, you know what I mean?
Picked a good spot.
I mean, Sing 2 has been in theaters so long, Sing 3 is out.
Yeah, and the fact that it's also very lucky, because considering Morbius was not a hit, Morbius didn't sweep Jack.
Right.
Yeah.
So. This movie did very well against Morbius. It made almost as much opening weekend wide release, I believe, as Morbius in way few theaters. Yeah. So it's great to see people turning out for it. If you want original stuff, like we always say, go support them in theaters.
Yeah.
This is a great movie, and the timing couldn't be better with people finally.
And it's a movie that benefits from being on the big screen because it's so visual. Yeah. Like sometimes the smaller art house movies, I'm like, if you watch it on your TV, are you really losing anything? Right. Probably not.
Right. Probably not.
But on this one, it's like, no, you'll benefit from seeing this on a big screen.
Big time. Just like Ambulance. I mean, even if I didn't really care for it, it's surely going to be better on a big screen. It's just the type. Yeah. And they do a great job with the writing, the performances, the special effects. You know, specifically, there's a version for IMAX screens again, which is crazy thinking how it's like this little art house movie, but the visuals are so brilliant with how creative they get. This is really a phenomenal story and film, and I hope people see it in theaters. I've been trying to tell everyone about it.
Yeah.
So I'm glad we could actually do an episode on it.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, I guess that's it for this one. Let's go around the table and everyone can say where to find them.
This is Joe. You can follow me on the Twitter at Joey Butts, BUTTS21.
This is Kevin. Follow me on Twitter at Kevin R. Brackett.
And where can they find you and your wares?
They can definitely find me on Twitter at NLE318 and on Facebook at Nguyen.Le.334. And I believe that in all universes, I'm using the same accounts.
That's smart branding. That's really smart branding. And in all universes, I rock.
Ah,
hey. Yeah,
so. Hey.
So, and you can find me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. Find the show online, facebook.com/Real Spoilers. And of course, don't forget our Patreon, patreon.com/Real Spoilers. So that's it for this one. Thanks for tuning in. And until next time, Helen gets the punchline right.
Get ready for a spoiler. Won't say it twice because we already warned you. Better watch out. It's going to ruin the plot. Real spoilers. Real spoilers. Real spoilers.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to Quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.